The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. You are listening to your Euro 2024 draw reaction here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, I understand that the draw was made a few months ago, but all of the spaces were not occupied because we needed to get through the playoff phase. The playoff phase has now been completed. The final three places have been filled. Therefore, it is now time to react and look at the futures markets for this summer's European Championship tournament. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network and also at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. And also be sure to follow my other X account. That one is at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. That's where I post my sporting opinions. That's where I post free play winners for you guys as well. And that's most significantly where I post my profit and loss spreadsheet. This is what differentiates me from other cappers on X and in general. And also what differentiates me is the fact that I have delivered 129 months in a row of transparent and tracked profit. What that means is that for over a decade and 9 months to be exact, soon to be 10 months, I have not had a losing month in sports betting. I've won every single month out of those 129 months since I've been tracked and transparent. I've had losing days, yes. I've even had losing weeks, but I've never lost across that 30, 31-day period. I've never had a losing month. All of my spreadsheets are there. The late spreadsheet is always the pinned tweet, so you can see that at the top of the X account. All of the other spreadsheets are down there, but the most easy place to find them, the easiest location, is over at lockbetting.com, where they are all put in one easy location. If you look through the spreadsheets, you'll see how we sensibly manage a bankroll. So if we lose a play, we don't chase it with a bigger play. You won't find a one-unit loser chased with a two-unit play. In fact, you won't even find many two-unit plays on there, if any. They'll mainly be futures plays, and that's because we have an 81% record with futures all time. So you won't find 3-unit, 5-unit, 10-unit, 20-unit. They won't be disguised as whale plays, max plays, play of the year, play of the month, play of the century, 5-star, 10-star, 20-star. None of that garbage that you see on X. That is all Monopoly money nonsense. These guys aren't really betting that. These guys aren't tracked, and these guys aren't winning you money. So if you want to come on board with something that has delivered money in a transparent and tracked way for 129 straight months, verified by the members' comments underneath all of the spreadsheets, then head over to LockBetting. And if you want to ask any questions, the DMs are open at the X account I mentioned at LockBettingX. So let's move on with looking at the futures for this tournament, Euro 2024, which goes down in the summer. And despite the fact they're coming off two pretty poor friendly results, a defeat against Brazil and a game where they needed a last-minute equaliser against Belgium to draw 2-2, England are still the favourites to win this tournament at 3-1. What's most significant about those games is that, with the exception of Kane and Saka, England mostly played their full-strength team as well, as Gareth Southgate did not use these games to look at who could or who shouldn't be in his squad. But that's just typical Southgate. The guy's a moron and doesn't know what he's doing. But yet, England are still the 3-1 favourites to win this tournament. Next up, you have World Cup runners-up France at 7-2, plus 350. Then it's a big jump down to the host nation, Germany, at 6-1. They impressed the most. They made the biggest leaps during this international break by winning away to France and then building on that by winning at home to Holland, their rivals. I really do think the people of Germany now will believe in this team after those results. And with the host nation having the home crowd behind them, that is a huge boost, especially when you actually do have quality players. So this isn't like Qatar hosting the 2022 World Cup. This is a team who could do significant things at the tournament that they're hosting, and they could have some value there at 6-1 plus 600. You then have Portugal at 8-1. You have the same price on Spain at 8-1. You then have Italy at 16-1. They're actually defending this tournament, which not a lot of people remember, even though it only happened 3 years ago and it should normally happen 4 years ago. You then have the Netherlands at 16-1. Belgium at 16-1, coming off that draw against England. They're unbeaten in 11. Many feel like their time has passed because the golden generation has passed. A lot of those players have retired, and some of them are now in the latter years of their career. If you're looking at the likes of Vertonghen, Lukaku, Kevin De Bruyne, but they are still fancied by some to have a good tournament. That's why they're not way out and are still available at 16-1, level with the holders Italy and a very, very solid Dutch team. Then it's a big jump to Croatia. They're at 40-1. Another team who have lost some of their better players, or some of the better players are at the end of their career. Last time out, you have Denmark, who are the semi-finalists. They're at 40-1. And it's Turkey 66-1, Hungary 80-1, Switzerland 80-1, Austria 80-1, Czech Republic 100-1, Poland 100-1, Scotland 100-1, Serbia 100-1, Ukraine 100-1. Everyone else is bigger than 200-1. So we're going to discuss this market further, and we already touched on one or two teams as we were running through the outright winner prices. But before I do that, let me tell you guys quickly that you are, of course, listening to the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the SGPN network. SGPN is the home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, and everything is completely free. In honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast Flagship, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. And of course, the College Basketball Experience, where Colby Dan, aka Pick Dundee, and Ryan Moneyline Mac and producer Noah B continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. So to make sure you never miss a show, subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience whenever you get your podcasts. So moving back to these outright markets, we spoke about England. I don't fancy England under Gareth Southgate. This is a strong team. They have a questionable backline. That is their weakness. But England should have a good enough attack that doesn't really make you worry about that. If you're worried about the likes of Harry Maguire, if you're worried about injuries in a fullback position, if you don't trust Jordan Pickford, don't worry about any of that, because we have Bellingham, we have Declan Rice protecting the back four. We have an embarrassment of riches on the wing with Rashford, with Foden, with Grealish, with Bukayo Saka. We have Harry Kane, one of the best goal scorers in the world up front, who scores goals freely. He's England's all-time leading top goal scorer. Barring an injury to Harry Kane, he's guaranteed to score goals in this major tournament like he always does. But Gareth Southgate continues to play with the handbrake on. Gareth Southgate continues to play in a style and with a system that does not allow England to attack freely. Gareth Southgate plays conservatively at all of these tournaments because Gareth Southgate was a conservative player. Gareth Southgate is a championship level manager, and Gareth Southgate doesn't know how to win and how to make the big decisions to get England over the line in the major tournaments, in the major games and against major teams, which is why England have only won four times against teams ranked in the top 10 in the last 26 matches. And that's going to be a major problem when you come to a major tournament, which is why I think it's a major discrepancy to have England as the favourites to win this tournament. Up next, you have France. And France, for me, are the team to beat. They were the team to beat at the last World Cup. They came into the World Cup as the holders, and they got to the final again, where they were beaten by Argentina, who had both Lionel Messi and Lady Luck on their side. And in the end, that was the difference between France winning back-to-back World Cups and France ultimately finishing as the runners-up. Now, France's one blip in the last three major tournaments was the fact that they were knocked out in a penalty shootout by Switzerland in a game that France should have won comfortably because they had the game in hand. They were 3-1 up and they suffered a major collapse. And that came after winning the group of death and looking like the solid favourites to win that tournament. They suddenly just had a collapse against Switzerland, and that can be forgiven. I can see France winning this tournament again, which would mean that they've won two of the last four tournaments and have reached the final in three of the last four. For me, that's a team that I can easily get behind. My dark horse for this tournament, and it was anyway, I didn't need to see Germany suddenly turn the corner. I knew that this would be an inspired team when the tournament started, with the home fans behind them, passionate German fans behind this team. But they'll be even more passionate now because they actually believe in the Germans after what they did in those last two friendly games. In Julian Nagelsmann, I do believe it's an improvement. I think it was harsh what happened to him at Bayern Munich, and Bayern Munich haven't exactly gone upwards since they lost Nagelsmann, which shows that he was doing a solid job and he's a manager that's more than capable of winning this tournament. In fact, I would say, if you look across the board, he's one of the better managers in this tournament, because for me, international management isn't that difficult, and the best managers don't take international jobs. It's usually the managers who may have failed at a club level or haven't had top level club jobs as of yet, which is why you don't see the likes of Ancelotti, Mourinho, Thomas Tuchel. These guys haven't been international managers. Pep Guardiola hasn't been an international manager. So I don't think the best managers are in international football. But Nagelsmann, for me, is one of the best managers. And he has gone, I would say, down to international football. I would say the Champions League at this point is a more fast-paced and competitive tournament than the World Cup and the European Championship. Although nothing for me has more prestige than the World Cup, because we only play it every 4 years, much like the Euros, we only play them every 4 years. So they are prestigious, but I don't think the level of football is as good as what you see in the Champions League, and therefore the management isn't as good as what you see in the Champions League, which is why you can see someone like Roberto Martinez getting a job at Belgium, where he failed to do anything with a golden generation, yet he then gets the Portugal job, and Portugal are the 8-1 favourites to win this tournament. Again, for me, they're a team who could do it. They suffered their first defeat under Martinez during this recent international break, and you could see how much of a competitive team that they are and how serious they take it by the reaction that some of their players had losing to Slovenia. They did not play well, but it angered them. They were pissed off by the fact they lost that game. And that, to me, shows an intent and a passion for your country, something that's lacking with some of these international teams who turn it on and turn it off like a tap. These Portugal players, they're passionate. They care about their country. When you look at the way Ronaldo reacted, he still cares about his country. And for someone like him, this is the last chance to really do anything significant in world football, because I don't think it's wholly significant what you go and do in Saudi Arabia. And for Ronaldo, this will be a very, very important tournament. The comparisons with Messi have somewhat stopped, because a lot of people have decided that it's now unanimous. It's been decided that Messi is the GOAT. But if Ronaldo wins this tournament with Portugal, suddenly that conversation and debate opens up again. And Portugal have an embarrassment of riches, a number of world-class players from Bruno Fernandes to João Felix to Rafa Leão to Cancelo to Diaz at the back. This is a team full of top players, and they could definitely win this tournament. And for me, the tournament is going to come from one of those three teams. I discard England, the favourites, and I discard anybody under Portugal. I'm looking at the host nation and Portugal as dark horses. And for me, I'm looking at France as my favourites to win this tournament. So let's have a look at the groups. Before we do that, let's take a quick pause here to tell you guys about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's Cut with a K, K-U-T-T. And use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Sign up today with our promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com and find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get a first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Now, you must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. That's ncpgambling.org. And finally, let me also utilize this pause to tell you guys about Hall of Fame Bets, where you can stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent and data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hfbets.com and use the promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. So as I mentioned, let's run through these six groups, and we begin with Group A. It's very, very hard to find a dark horse to win any of these groups. I'm going to say that off the bat. So if it does seem like I'm being chalky, it's because I am at this point. And perhaps my opinion will change when we do the future show nearer the time, just before the tournament starts. That will be 3 or 4 days out from the tournament starting. That may change due to injuries. That may change due to something that we see between now and then. But ultimately, at the moment, these forecasts are likely to be chalky, as I do believe that all of the favourites are the right favourites to win these groups. And it's difficult for me to make a significant case for anybody not winning their groups. And it starts here with Group A, where Germany are the 4-7 favourites. You have 5-1 on Hungary, 5-1 on Switzerland, and 8-1 here on the Scotland. And Germany, I may have been able to make a case for somebody being a dark horse in this group, but that recent international break has really done it for me. I think Germany could potentially go through here with 3 wins. Hungary gave Germany a very, very good game last time out, and Germany don't like playing them. But ultimately here, with the host nation behind him, I do believe that Germany will be able to get the 7 points that they need, whether they draw against Hungary or beat Hungary en route to getting those 7 points. I do believe 7 points will be enough. And I do see Germany winning 2 of these 3 games and avoiding defeat in the other and getting the 7 points that they'll need to win Group A. Up next, we have Group B, where Spain are the 10-11 favourites. The holders, Italy, are at 2-1. Croatia at 4-1 and Albania, the outsiders, at 25-1. Immediately, I will disregard Albania, and I could even disregard Croatia here, because for me, Croatia are a fading force. When you look at the likes of Modric and Perisic and Rakitic, they're either gone or right at the end of their careers, where they're not the same players. And the next generation of top-level, world-class Croatian players who are playing for top European teams haven't come through. And for that reason, I just cannot see Croatia getting through this group. Italy are definitely not the same team that they were 3 years ago, but they should be able to get through. But I only see Spain winning the group. Spain are still lacking that number nine, that goal scorer, and they're still playing this tiki-taka brand of football. But ultimately, they've had better results than any of these other three teams. Therefore, it's difficult for me to pick against Spain. I do think they are the right favourites here to win the group. Up next, we move on to Group C, where England are the most significant favourites that we've seen so far, where they're the 1-3 favourites to win this group. It's 4-1 on Denmark, 8-1 on Serbia, and 16-1 here on Slovenia. Difficult to make a case for Slovenia and Serbia. Serbia have had some very, very poor results prior to qualifying for this tournament. Slovenia, they are just here, in my opinion, to make up the numbers. They've done very well just to get to the tournament, but I do not see them going any further. As for Denmark, they were the semi-finalists last time out. England needed extra time to beat them, and England could face a very difficult game against Denmark. Denmark have the likes of Rasmus Højlund in their ranks. Rasmus Højlund has been scoring goals in both the Premier League and the Champions League, and he'll be important. But at the end of the day, England should be getting past Denmark. England should definitely be picking up 7 points in this group. The opening game against Serbia will be important. If England pick up 3 points in that game, I cannot see past England winning this group. But these are not the teams that England are going to struggle against. These, for me, are not the type of opponents that England fall short against. The tournament really starts for England when they come up against the likes of France, Germany, Belgium, Portugal, those types of teams. And that's when you also get the dark arts involved. And some of these teams are very, very good at the dark arts, at the knockout stage. When you're looking at the likes in particular of Italy and Portugal, they're very, very good at grinding out results. And that's something that England haven't shown themselves of being capable of doing, particularly under Gareth Southgate. When you're looking at Group D here, France are the 4-7 favourites to finish ahead of the Netherlands, who are out at 3-1. It's 8-1 on Austria, and it's 10-1 here on Poland. If there is a dark horse to win any of these groups, you could be looking at the Netherlands. France, they don't really get into their groove until later on in the tournament. You could make a case for the Netherlands drawing against France, and both France and the Netherlands beating both Austria and Poland, and perhaps Netherlands being more emphatic in their victories and pipping this group on goal difference. That could be something that I see happening, because Holland are notoriously good in the group stages. They've impressed in a number of tournaments where it looks like they are going to be a dark horse, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And you see their players being linked to a number of European clubs, and then suddenly they fall short and collapse. We've seen it at a number of tournaments. We saw it last time out, and it could be something that happens again. But they could be a dark horse here to win the group at 3-1 plus 300. For Group E, we have Belgium at 1-2, Ukraine at 11-2, Romania at 6-1, and Slovakia at 9-1. Again, I'm sorry, I can't see a dark horse here. Ukraine have done very, very well getting to this stage. And don't forget, they haven't played any of those games in Ukraine, so they'll be used to playing away from home. I think that will be good enough for them to qualify. I certainly think there's value on Ukraine to qualify from this group, and I do think they're better than both Romania and Slovakia. As an individual bet, Ukraine to qualify at 4-6 minus 150 does provide some value. And I also like the straight forecast market here of Belgium first and Ukraine second at the price of 3-1. So trying to give you a little bit more for this group, because obviously it is getting a little bit chalky, and perhaps it is getting a little bit repetitive and boring, that I do believe that the favourites are the rightful favourites and they will win the groups. And that has been a theme of breaking down these groups. And perhaps, as I said, we will say something different as we get nearer the time. We conclude with Group F, where Portugal are the 1-2 favourites. It's 7-2 on Turkey, it's 11-2 on the Czech Republic, and it's 14-1 here on Georgia. All of these teams have done very, very well to get here. I would say Turkey are a dark horse, but since they've got here, They've had a very, very poor run of results, which included being battered by Austria in the last international break. Whilst Portugal, all they've done is win. They've won solidly. They were 100% under Roberto Martinez for a long time. They only suffered their first defeat during this recent international break. And as I mentioned, they did not react well to it. They were very, very sour about it. And that could go one of two ways. You could look at that and say, this is a team that don't have their emotions in check. Or you look at it and say, this is a group of winners who are desperate to win and wanted to go into this tournament with that 100% record in check. Just look at their qualifying record here. 110 out of 10. Only 2 goals conceded with 36 goals scored. This is a machine, in my opinion. And I would not read into that last result where they lost away to Slovenia. Portugal, for me, are a major threat in this tournament. And as I said, a team who know about the dark arts. They know how to win and they are full of world-class players. In my opinion, they will win this group. And as I say that, once again, I will concede that we haven't really found too much value running through these groups. But as we approach the tournament, we will do another future show. As I said, 2 or 3 days out from the tournament, we'll look at these groups more extensively. We'll try and look at straight forecasts. We'll try and look at dual forecasts. We'll try and look at who will qualify from the group. But I do believe it's too early to do that at the moment. What I wanted to do here is just give a general reaction to the draw. Have a look at those outright winners markets. And for me, I am looking at France to win it. They are the team to beat. And Germany as the host nation. And Portugal, who have been very, very good since Roberto Martinez took over. Surprisingly, they are the dark horses, in my opinion, with England being far, far too short once again to win a major tournament. That's it for me and this Euro 2024 draw reaction. Good luck with all your bets as always, and thanks for listening.